Well, it proves the adage that a losing boxer has one last lucky punch left in him. Or if you looked at it from the perspective of one who was supposed to be winning, a winning boxer's undoing is to forget his vulnerability. You know, a referee always has that one-liner at the beginning of each fight, protect yourself always at all times. And one speedy moment that protection is a failure, well, look what happened. But that's just boxing. He earned his 1.2 billion pesos in equivalent. I asked my son to calculate per second for those 6 rounds. That's more than 1,100,000 per second. Not bad at all. But more serious stuff is about our spiritual battle. Ang mas seryosong usapin ay ang ating mga labanang espiritual. Kung paano tayo lumalaban. And one dangerous peril of any Christian in the midst of a battle or struggle is to forget his vulnerability, to forget to protect himself. And when you forget to do that, it's not just a knockdown or a knockout, it can be with more serious repercussions. Mas delikado, mas mapanganib ang kahinat na ng mga hindi nagpoprotekta ng kanilang sarili sa mga usaping pang-espiritual. At kadalasan, ang dahilan nito ay may iniisip na siya, na may kakayanan na siya, o kaya naman sa iba, may mga maling katuruan tungkol sa pagiging sakdal. There is a teaching that remains rampant in many circles today concerning perfectionism of one version or another. They think that a Christian can attain a level of spirituality when he no longer has to struggle with sin. Others call it victorious life, surrendered life, spirit-filled life, and in many ways, they are given versions that have nothing to do with scriptures. Binibigyan ng mga anyo ng pagtuturo na wala sa banal na kasulatan, sapagkat isang patuloy na itinuturo ng banal na kasulatan ay hindi mararating ng sino man ang kasakdalan. No one can attain perfection. And one way the scriptures show this is by treating even its hero characters without hiding their faults. The scriptures expose the faults even of their heroes. And that is something that we will see in the character we are studying in this brief series, that of Barnabas. His very name, I told you, is a lesson because it is not his original name. It is an honor given by the apostles. And last week, we began considering Barnabas with Acts as our background. And I said that we need to study this character in the light of the storyline of Luke. And the storyline of Luke is about the growing church, a church that started with Jerusalem and now is expanding into the Gentile world. And therefore, the storyline is about a growing church. However, within the storyline, we must not miss important subplots. And one important subplot is that of Barnabas. And we learned last week that encouragement is an individual ministry necessary in a growing church. The very name Barnabas was conferred by the apostles on this man named Joseph, or other translations have Joseph, and they gave him this conferred name Barnabas, which Luke interpreted to mean a son of encouragement. And there we learn that there is an individual ministry of encouragement necessary in a growing church. But today, we will see this son of encouragement is stumbling, which resulted in deeply discouraging others. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 6 to verse 14. Galatians chapter 2, verses 6 to 14. And from those who seemed to be influential, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me for mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. In verse 11, but when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Now, the thrust of this letter, as you know, we had a long series on this in our Tagalog service. The thrust of this letter is to defend the one apostolic gospel that Apostle Paul is carrying to the Gentiles while Peter and the rest were ministering to the Jews. But there is only one gospel, and that one gospel teaches justification by faith. Ang nag-iisang ebanghelyo ay nagtuturo na para tayo tanggapin ng Diyos upang tayo'y mapawalang sala sa harap ng hukuman ng Diyos, ito ay sa pamamagitan lamang ng pananampalataya kay Jesu Cristo. So that is the thrust of this letter, but that is not our focus on this message. Our focus is on this incident in Antioch involving Peter and also Barnabas. And Paul saw in the action of Peter and his company a violation of the truth of the gospel. But then a special note of pain can be felt in the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, even Barnabas was led astray. It was something unexpected by Paul, and it proved personally painful to him. I remember in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, in that scene when Julius Caesar was being assassinated by the senators, and the last one to put a stab on his body was his very adopted son, or the person whom he has considered his own protege, Brutus. And the words that Shakespeare put in the mouth of Julius Caesar was, et tu, Brute, you too, Brutus. Well, this is something like what Paul is feeling about Barnabas. Probably he wasn't that surprised that Peter went wrong and the others were wrong in their steps. After all, they were ministers to the circumcised, and they were thinking about not to offend those who are to whom they ministered. But Barnabas was the long companion of Paul in their missionary journey. This happened before their separation over John Mark. So they were companions. They were team. They were a team. And Apostle Paul expected something better of Barnabas. But here you see is Barnabas being led astray. So why would a Barnabas, son of encouragement that he was, why would a Barnabas be led astray? Well, I think his very strength of encouraging turned into weakness. This is my message. There can be a misplaced concern for people that is violative of the gospel. Mayroong wala sa lugar na pagmamalasakit sa mga tao na lumalabag na sa ebanghelyo. There can be a misplaced concern for people that is violative of the gospel. Peter and Barnabas had good fellowship with Gentiles. But when the Jews arrived, they suddenly withdrew. In the case of Peter, he was wrong. Yet you could imagine that he was thinking of not offending this Jewish party. But Barnabas. So Paul was ready to confront Peter, but it pained him in a personal way that Barnabas should stumble into this. And what do we learn of the fault of Barnabas? Where does his fault lie? In two ways. First, to be carried by company more than teaching. Magpadala sa samahan kaysa sa katuruan. To be carried by company more than teaching. And secondly, to be caring of status more than service. alalahanin ang antas o ang reputasyon kaysa paglilingkod. Sa dalawang bagay na yun, makikita natin na nangyari ito kay Barnabas. And in that way, we can be at fault even as we are concerned for people. So first of all then, to be carried by company more than teaching. Paul said, Barnabas was led astray. In other translations, if you're using the New King James, carried away. The word itself is neutral. There's nothing wrong about the word itself, depending on whatever it is that carried away or that led astray Barnabas. There was nothing wrong about the process. It is likely that Barnabas was carried away out of his desire not to disappoint the company he had with Peter and the rest. And here we see his concern for people that came to matter first to Barnabas, that he forgot the prior claim of the gospel. Mas inisip ni Barnabas yung kanyang pakikisama kay Pedro at sa iba pa niyang kasamahan kesa sa nauunang inaangkin ng ebanghelyo. And there lies the fault when our concern for people gives way to the claims of the gospel. Established doctrine is our prior guide before even our most esteemed company. Kung anong nakatindig ng doktrina, yan ang patnubay sa ating mga desisyon, sa ating mga direksyon, bago pa yung pinakatinatangi nating mga relasyon at samahan. So here, Paul explains that in this section, the implications of the gospel of justification, especially concerning Jews and Gentile relationship. Every sinner is justified by faith in Christ alone. And that remains our message. Ito pa rin ang mensahe natin bilang iglesia na ang bawat makasalanan ay maari lamang tumindig sa harap ng hukuman ng Diyos at tratuhing may walang sala nang dahil lamang sa pananampalataya kay Hesukristo. Kapag maghanap ka ng ibang sasaligan upang tanggapin ka ng Diyos, mapapahama ka. Ang tanging paraan ay si Hesukristo at dapat siyang sampalatayanan. Yan ang mensahe ng ebanghelyo. But what Paul is doing is drawing the implication as to the relationship between Jew and Gentile. Paul denies any merit, whether Jews or Gentiles. He says, by works of the law, no one can be justified. In fact, he assumes this to be a universal knowledge of all Christians. He says, we know. In other words, we Jews know, and Gentiles can be assumed to know. If you are a Christian, you reject salvation by works. Kapag pinangahawakan mo pa rin ay kaligtasan sa paraan ng gawa, hindi ka Kristiyano. Yan ang simpleng implikasyon. Pero kung ganito ang paniniwala natin, then whether Jewish or Gentile, they are sinners and both sides are justified by faith in Christ alone. And the implication of this for relation is that there is no excuse for withdrawing from Gentiles just because Peter and company are Jews. Kung ito nang ating tinitindigan, eh bakit mo tratratuhin ang mga Hudyo na parang mas magaling, mas malapit sa Diyos kaysa sa mga Hentil? And this is exactly what Peter has done. He had no misgivings eating with Gentiles prior to the arrival of the Jewish party. But once they arrived, suddenly he withdrew. And they avoided the Gentiles, and to Paul's pain, personal ache, Barnabas went along with his company. We see here an instance of concern for company being given more weight than the gospel teaching. You see, as guide to action, we cannot adjust doctrine just to accommodate company. It is company that must adjust to the established teachings of the scriptures. And this is something that should challenge us. Sometimes when we are inundated with doctrines, they become so ordinary to us, we no longer sense its preciousness, that we need to safeguard it. It's something that happened to salt. Did you know that salt was a precious commodity in the ancient times? When it was not yet known how to culture salt from the sea, It was mined mostly in the desert, and people paid with gold just to obtain salt. And do you know that our very word salary is from the Latin for salt? Because soldiers were paid with salt, a salary. Eh, ganun kahalaga. But when salt became so ordinary, walang magbabayad ng ginto para sa asin. Well, sometimes our treatment of doctrine is that it has become so ordinary to us. There's no preciousness, and we need to recover the preciousness of the doctrines of the Scripture so that they become our guide, the precious guide to our decisions. Now, how do we challenge ourselves to make sure this is the more important thing to us than company? Well, let us follow the example here of Paul. Be ready to oppose companions who violate the plain teachings of the Scriptures. Maging handa tayong salungatin kahit pa ang itinatangi nating mga kasama kung sila ay lumalabag sa maliwanag na doktrina ng kasulatan. Yan ang sabi ni Pablo, when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Now, some translations have the weak word blame because he was to be blamed. Condemned is the right word. Paul is contrasting what Peter has done to justification by faith. The issue is the doctrine of justification. What Peter has done is so contrary to the doctrine that he stood condemned. Sharp words. But what guided Paul is his commitment to the gospel of justification by faith. And Paul said, when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. Again, he's mindful of gospel truth. And when it comes to biblical teachings, especially one that touches on the gospel, Paul draws the line with his company, no matter how esteemed that company may be. And that included Peter, and yes, that included Barnabas too. And so must we. Are you withholding your acceptance of the gospel because of company? Meron ba rito sa inyo na pinapahaba ang panahon na hindi mo tinatanggap ang ebanghelyo sapagkat may iniisip kang relasyon, may iniisip kang samahan na gusto mong panatilihin? Mas mamabutihin mo ba na kasama ng mga samahan na yon ay ibulid kayo sa kapahamakan kaysa tanggapin mo ang ebanghelyo? Are you stopping short of following the Lord in baptism and be a part of the church because of someone? Barnabas is concerned for his company. And that's what you may expect of an encourager like Barnabas. He was concerned for his company. But because of that, he became a discouragement to Paul. And don't forget the Gentiles. I imagine those Gentiles who have had pleasant fellowship with Barnabas and Peter, and when they invited them again to a lunch fellowship or dinner fellowship, suddenly they rejected, they declined the invitation because of the Jews. So this man of encouragement, Barnabas, became a discouragement to Paul and to the Gentiles because he was carried by company rather than be dictated by teaching. If there is a plain teaching of the word, let it be your guide. Keep it. Do not allow company to bend it. Now take note, I said plain teachings, not pet opinions that have divided Christians without any conclusive point. But plain teaching. Nothing can be more plain to Paul than justification by faith. And he opposed esteemed companions rather than bend doctrines. And because scriptures are clear, we will have to tell some parents how wrong they are in their parenting. Because scriptures are clear, we will have to tell some Christian friends how wrong their evangelism is and how wrong their idea of perhaps church life is. Now I say that this word carried away is neutral depending on what carries you away. Here is a negative use of it. 2 Peter 3:17. Take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Peter here is using the very word that Paul used to describe Barnabas being carried away, and in this case, carried away by error. What doctrine has been precious enough to you that when you see it violated, you stand for it, even in the face of an esteemed companion? When Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. For Jonathan Edwards, it was the doctrine of what he called visible sainthood. Visible sainthood, he said, was the qualification for the Lord's Supper. And as pastor of his church in Northampton, he made it his policy, and it stepped on the feet of influential people. And we know the result, that it resulted in the excommunication of Jonathan Edwards in a very unfair election. But he stood his ground. So to you, what doctrine would you be willing to stand your ground upon and not allow company to bend it? So this is what happened to Barnabas, to be carried by company more than teaching. Secondly, to be caring of status more than service. Alalahanin ang reputasyon, ang pagkakakilanlan kaysa paglilingkod. In choosing to side with the Jews, Barnabas ignored the effect of his withdrawal from Gentiles. And he was supposed to be the son of encouragement. He should have been sensitive to how the Gentiles felt. So why was he carried away? May I suggest, a name is a good enough explanation. Peter. No Peter on the other side. And we know the reputation of a Peter. And so we see here a Barnabas caring about status more than the encouragement he could give to the Gentiles. And we must stress that service must be motivated by the gospel, not by reputation, whether ours or those we serve. Ang ating paglilingkod ay dapat nasa motibo ng ebanghelyo, hindi yung antas natin, hindi yung reputasyon natin o ng reputasyon ng pinaglilingkuran natin. Huwag mong sabihin na mas magandang maglingkod dito kasi may pangalan. Eh siguro itong naisip ni Barnabas, there's Peter. No Peter on the other side. He was doing a good service to the Gentiles by joining their fellowship, and Paul didn't expect Barnabas to be carried away. Probably Barnabas did not have that in mind until he saw Peter withdrew. He did not want to leave the Gentiles. But when he saw Peter withdrawing, and that's a big name, let us grant that he was thinking honestly. Perhaps he was thinking, I could be more encouraging with Peter in my company than without a Peter. But that is still not gospel motive in service. Later in this letter to the Galatians, Paul will describe service in this way. In Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Gospel love should motivate our service to one another. Gospel love that was displayed on the cross. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's love on display. And when you begin to think first of reputation, whether yours or those you serve, as the rationale for service, it's not gospel love. Paul shows to Barnabas that even a man with Peter's status is accountable to the gospel, and he made him so. And that's something that we need to understand. There's always something that we need to bring to the gospel for our cleansing, forgiveness. Today, in fact, 33 years ago, December 9, 1979, scientists announced the eradication of smallpox. Quite a victory for medicine. Only 2 years later, you have HIV. And dealing with disease is something analogous to the way we deal with our sin. Sometimes we think we have eradicated one sin, only to choose to surface in other forms. There's no perfection here, brethren. It will always be a struggle. It will always be a battle. That's why we need to always be accountable to the gospel, and our service must be motivated by the gospel. So be mindful of those others. If you will serve with gospel motivation, I challenge you, be mindful of those that others find reason to avoid or discriminate against. Isipin mo yung mga taong nagkiging dahilan para sa iba na iwasan, talikuran. Peter and Barnabas discriminated against the Gentiles. Maybe they still had that old Jewish bias. They have not completely mortified it. But they should have learned that the gospel is a message preached to all without discrimination. Ang ebanghelyo ipinapangaral sa lahat ng walang diskriminasyon. And we should highlight this in our service. Be mindful of your old bias. Mortify it by reaching out. Here is another usage of the word that Paul describes Barnabas with, carried away but positively. Romans 12:6. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And that's the very same word, associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. I am certain but that Barnabas would have learned from this sad episode and would be restored to Paul's favor. He would have learned that everybody is a sinner. No one is perfect. Therefore, to associate with the lowly also means associate with the imperfect. Let not someone's imperfection provoke your bias. This is how the church is built. Every material of the house is not fully refined and polished. And that is why there is the ministry of encouragement essential, even when the encourager proves imperfect. So let the status we aspire be that of the servant of Christ. And this is what strikes me in the way the letters of James and Jude are introduced. They both introduce themselves as servant of Christ. What makes that remarkable? Because James and Jude were blood brothers of Jesus. Eh kung Pinoy yun, hindi palalampasin ng Pilipino yun. Kapatid ako ni Jesus. But James and Jude were content to simply introduce themselves, James a servant of Christ, Jude a servant of Christ. Let that be the status we aspire after. One of the early martyrs in Christian history was a noble woman, Perpetua. And the account of her martyrdom is graphically detailed. How she was eaten by lions alive. But what makes this noble woman remarkable was that she did her best to reach out to slaves. One of her converts was her own slave, Felicitas, and they were both in the arena in that martyrdom. And I'm asking all of us to have that mindset. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, let the gospel permeate our company, not the company compromising the gospel. And then we can be more consistent what Barnabas should have been, a son of encouragement. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo nga kami, O Diyos, at aming Ama, na makita ang katotohanan na wala pa kami sa kasakdalan. Narito pa ang kasalanan at naroon ang pakikibaka sa kasalanan at may mga pagkakataon na kami ay gugupuin ng aming kasalanan, ngunit sa iyong biyaya ay muli kaming nakakabangon Ngunit isang dahilan na ang ganitong pagbagsak ay kung inuuna ang samahan kaysa sa iyong katuruan. So help us, Lord, to learn from the stumbling of Barnabas, a man who was called son of encouragement, and yet here is an incident where he caused gross discouragement. We pray that we may learn from it that there can be a misplaced concern for people that is violative of the gospel. So grant that we may stand upon the teachings of your word, not to be carried by company. Let the established and plain teachings of the word be so precious to us that we may truly let the doctrines guide our decisions and directions, and that we may not fall into this error of Barnabas, and there may be times when, like Paul, we may be challenged to oppose companions, no matter how esteemed they may be, when they violate the plain teachings of the scriptures. And help us, Lord, not to be caring of status more than service, but instead let our service be motivated by the gospel, that gospel love displayed on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may there be a reminder even to people today that this remains the one message of the gospel of the church, that sinners can only be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing this, help us, Lord, to apply that gospel love in our service, not to be concerned primarily by our reputation or by the reputation of those we serve. And in this, we may be challenged to be mindful of those very people who others find reason to avoid or perhaps discriminate against. Help us to follow the exhortation of the Apostle Paul to associate with the lowly and associate with the imperfect. For we too are imperfect. We are fellow heirs of eternal life, but in this present project of continuing sanctification while we deal with our remaining sin. Make us a church that is composed of those whose ambition, just like James and Jude, is just to be known as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.